Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young. We are for His glory, and everything we do is what?
For His glory.
It should be. It better be. That's what we're all about.
That's right.
This ministry will help you see the Bible and life through Hebrew eyes and understand the Bible in its length and depth and height and breadth. We pray through the ministry that God has given us and by the grace of the Holy Spirit, God Himself. God's good to us, and we want to share that with you because life is for sharing. And God has jewels and many things to give you from heaven. This teaching today is going to be called the Yoke of Messiah. The Yoke of Messiah. And I want to read you first in the Bible in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. That's in the New Testament. And Jesus is the speaker. Jesus' name in Hebrew is
Yeshua.
And Christ is known as the Messiah. So if you hear me say Yeshua HaMashiach, that's Yeshua or Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Christ is not his last name, so recognize that's an office from Mashach in Hebrew, anointed, the anointed one. So here we go, the anointed one, Mashiach. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavily laden, and I will give you rest." Take my yoke, in Hebrew, uli. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, ki uli na'im, and my burden is light. Fakal masa'i. My burden is light. What is the first part? It says, come unto me. So the first part is?
Come.
And the second part is direction?
To me.
Now we have two things. We have action and direction. If we have action and no direction, that's like going around like the proverbial chicken with its head cut off. You don't know where you're going. A lot of people are running around doing just that, running around. It doesn't mean they're going somewhere necessarily where they need to be. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you noticed from the last time you're on the road, a lot of people are driving nearby or on the road, and they all don't know where they're going either. Some do, some don't. Be careful. Some people may decide the exit they need to get to is 2 feet, 4 lanes away, and they cut across 4 lanes of traffic to make it, and other people have passed it long ago, and they act funny in a moment in the road. Going where? If you stop to ask people where you're going and keep taking the question, I'm going to work. Why? Where is that taking you? Well, I need to earn a living and have money. Fine, that's fine. But then where is that taking you? Keep pressing the question. Usually you can run something to the end point within 7 questions if you take it all the way through. And find out what's the purpose. Jesus didn't say come. He said come unto me. And he said come. So he's commanding and demanding upon our souls to come unto him. And what kind of people are to come unto him? All who are weary and heavily laden. Why? He says, I'm going to give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be worth going then?
Oh, yes.
Jesus doesn't make demands on us that are not helpful for us. He wants the best for us. So he says, you're carrying around a heavy pack. What are you doing? It's just too burdensome for you. Drop it off. There's a story about the hitchhiker that gets picked up, and there's this heavy sack on his back. And the truck comes along, picks him up, and he gets in the back, and he's riding along for a while. About 5 miles down the road, the trucker looks behind, and he sees the guy sitting in the back. He's still got this heavy sack crushing him on his back. And he looks at him and says, what are you doing? He says, I'm taking a ride you gave me. I appreciate it. He says, but you still got that sack on your back. Put it down. So all who are weary and heavily laden, he didn't just say to come unto him. He says, put the packs down. I'll give you rest. You can take that heavy weight and burden off you.
Mm-hmm.
Then what does he say? And learn. No. He says, learn of me. Of is genitive. Of me. Many people are learning many things. And knowledge itself is good. But good for what? If you learn 1,000 different trivia things and you amaze your friends and you got this great memory and you can remember all this information, but your life is still a mess. Your kids are on drugs. People are running away. You sequestered yourself away from people just to learn the next 1,000 facts. And you just got all this stuff, to quote Rabbi Zacharias, who says, where's the skin? What's holding all this stuff together? You just got a lot of information, the appearance of knowledge. Always learning, but never arriving. You just got information. And unfortunately, and we're going to dispel that myth, having all that knowledge and being intelligent does not make you wise. Because God clearly says wisdom is from above. And wisdom is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, and reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, without hypocrisy. God wants that kind of wisdom that's from above for people, not just the knowledge of a bunch of facts and information, which you can and should learn as necessary, as it brings you closer to Him, and you're learning it through Him because you're learning of Him.
Mm-hmm.
Come learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Do people picture God as a guy up there with a big stick?
Quite a few people do, yes.
Waiting for you to make the first infraction and wrap your toes and knuckles, hit you behind the knees and bend you down? Does God have laws?
Yes, He does.
What's the purpose of them? One of the purposes.
So that we don't do wrong.
Yes. Now, we're very used to, and at times too used to, man-made laws without God, in which they are then determined by the fallacies at times and the limitations of a human being, even at times well-meaning. But what do we say now about the ultimate God's laws? Take the laws of biomechanics and exercise. When you learn from a trainer or a doctor who's knowledgeable in that area and you go exercise, is it good to learn how to the laws of biomechanics and how to use your body for a sport-specific
or
activity-specific? Why?
Sure.
Why should you learn
those
laws?
That way you can do it right.
Oh, so if you learn those things, they'll help you do it right and give you...
And you don't get hurt.
So it'll help you by obeying that law. It'll help you.
It'll help you get results, that's
for
sure.
Does it restrict you?
No. It helps you be more productive.
It's not prohibitive?
No.
Oh, so it's directive. These laws will help ensure right action.
Right.
And be safe for you. So
yes.
God's laws in the Bible, of which they are in the Old Testament, or better call the Tanakh, 613 of them. 248 positive, or yeses, thou shalt's, 268 of those. 365 thou shalt nots. Isn't it important to know those things?
Yes, it is.
Like those, you know, like, let me use a modern concept here. You should be observant of the laws of gravity. That kind of helps.
Mm-hmm.
I would think and I would hope, what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat. It's a good way also when you give somebody directions how to get to their house to tell them, do go on this street, but here's the street before and after my block. Don't go on this. You're close. If you go too far, you're on that street. Don't, but do this one. And it helps because then you know what not to do. And it helps you do what you're supposed to do. It's very important to know those kind of things. But what is this part coming up here? After you shall find rest for your souls, if you just joined us, we're teaching on the yoke of Yeshua. The yoke of the Messiah is the name of the teaching. The yoke of the Messiah. And we come to the next part in the New Testament, the Bible, Matthew 11, 28-30, where Jesus himself, God in the flesh, says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is his yoke? If his yoke is easy and his burden is light, what is his yoke? Ideas? Everybody here, speak up.
Well, yoke seems to be something hard, difficult to handle.
Yoke.
Yes.
I'm choking you
exactly.
Around your neck. Where do we get that concept from?
I don't know.
Cattle.
Oh, okay.
Right? The boof out there, right?
The boof.
All those animals out there. All you multilingual people, right?
Yes, that means cow in another language.
Yes, indeed. What are we going to do with those cows? So what do we have? We come to the Bible with all our own mental pictures, Hollywood, TV, kids' books. Like we got Charlton Heston walking up and down the mountain 2 times, right? He's a nice guy, and he's good, and I like him a lot. And I believe he's a believer. But Moses went up and down 7 times. You read your Bible carefully. Charlie went twice. Now, Charlie's not Moses. He'll say that himself. He'll be one of the first to say that.
He did good, though.
He did great, but Moses did it right.
Yes.
All right? And Moses was the one who was called. So with all due respect, and really with all due respect, Moses went up and down 7 times. You have Adam and the other Adam, all right, after the fall, Genesis 3:20, named Eve Chava, after Chai, for living, the mother of the living, both leaving Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. And you have one angel there holding a sword. That's the picture I had in one of my little Bible story books when I was little. Lies! They lied to me. I forgive them. But they still lied. What's wrong with that picture? There's one angel, and he's holding a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Something wrong with that picture. If you read it carefully, it's there the Kirubim. This is, you have the rankings in heaven. These, the cherubim, the cherubs, usually had those fat, round, little pudgy ones in medieval art. Now, these are the green berets of heaven. And actually, it's in a plural form. So there was at least more than two or more. And they are the elite force of heaven, if you will. And the sword, when you read the Hebrew very carefully, it was not held by the angels. It was separate, and it was turning in every direction, guarding the way to the tree of life. So God put a flaming sword turning in every direction, guarding it by itself, not handheld. Two, there's a company of angels there, but they were not seraphim, which is another class, or other angels, which is another class of angels, generically speaking. But why would God put the cherubim there to guard and to keep the way open? Well, I do remember a covering cherub who fell from grace, who we call Satan or Hasatan, which means good, the adversary.
Mm-hmm.
How's the best way, as somebody once put it once, Chuck Missler, is the best way to fight a tank?
With another tank.
With another tank. What's the best way to fight another fighter aircraft?
With another aircraft.
Fighter aircraft, absolutely. What's the best way to fight another cherub?
With another cherub.
So God put his cherubim that had not fallen to guard the way, including the flaming sword there, to keep the way from them and also to protect the way for those who would return, the sons of Adam, of the last Adam, the redeemed human race. That's us. Yes.
So we can get by the flaming sword and the cherubs posted there?
In Revelation, you have the church at Ephesus, and it says, "To the one overcoming, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Now, back to the yoke. Take my yoke upon you. What is yoke? Because we're supposed to take it upon you. So if we're supposed to take it upon us, we got to know what it is we're taking upon us.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
And it says, upon you, al, ayin lamed in Hebrew, means on or upon, above or over. Interesting word. The same Hebrew letters for on or upon, al, with different points, different vowel marks, you've got the same word that's used for yoke. Now, Judaism speaks about the yoke. We need to get back to the Jewish culture. What's the point and how do we do things here? We see through Hebrew eyes. The customs, the culture, the tradition, the teaching, and understand what is this yoke I'm supposed to take. If God says, my yoke is easy, I want it. First, because it's his.
Right.
Second, because it's his, and he says it's easy, that's a good thing. So I want it. And he says, take it upon you. Judaism speaks about the yoke of heaven. To come under the authority and rule of God in your hearts and in your life, all mankind and everywhere. And the yoke is known as the Torah and to keep the Torah of God. The Torah does not mean law. And the Hebrew lexicon, Brown, Driver, Briggs, and Cassinius, in our 1979 edition I have, page 435, bottom right, the word Torah means direction or instruction. The master said, take my yoke, uli. E at the end means me in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
E for me. And learn from me. All of the Torah, he, Yeshua, Jesus, embodies it. And all of the prophets, all of the whole Bible, for it testifies of me. Jesus also says in Matthew 10:38, take up your cross, which means what? to deny yourself. Take up your cross means to lay down your life. Take up, lay down. Mm-hmm. Take up your cross, lay down your life. Of course, the purpose of the cross is to crucify the flesh. That has nothing to do with sicknesses and disease and problems. It's a matter of discipleship. It's a matter of discipleship. That's what it means. I say, I will deny myself, my flesh, my unregenerate self, my carnal man, my earthly nature. I'm His. And that's what we each have to say. God says for us to say, take up your cross. First thing to do, before He says, follow me, He says, deny yourself, take up your cross. Because how could you take up your cross unless you deny yourself? You're still focused on you.
Mm-hmm.
God says, if you're willing to lose your life for my sake, that's again what we talked about earlier, Danny, direction.
Yes.
For not just to lose your life, a lot of people lose their life and they're still going to hell out of choice. And those who want more information on that, go to our website, forhisglory.org. Look at our new book called Why God, Come and See, which is also available online at Amazon.com or Borders.com, BooksAMillion.com, and BarnesandNoble.com currently. So please come and see, forwardsglory.org. And we help about 20 of these key questions in life bring to mm-hmm. light. And it's just come out wonderful. I'm rereading it different times. It's a real blessing. And we both know who the real author is. We all should. It's the Lord. When it's good, it's God. Back to Matthew 10:38, we're teaching on the yoke of Messiah, and we're talking now about taking up your cross. To take up your cross is to lay down your life.
Right.
So in order to follow Him, there's three steps. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're going to follow Him who is God Himself, God incarnate, and have this walk of the Spirit, you first must deny yourself. Lay down your life, pick up your cross, lay down your life, and then you're free to follow. Or else you're not free. And only free people can free others, and free people are free enough to follow Him to the degree you're free. So it all starts with desire, and then you do based on that desire. If there's a will, there's a way. And if there's a way, it's because God has provided it.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Learn of me. Take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me, learn of me. Note the same word used, we mentioned earlier, for yoke, al, with different vowel pointing, right? That's al is on, above, over. And that's a word play. Al is a word play. Uli, my cross. Al, on, or upon, or above. So through the yoke, it's composed of two letters. Every letter in Hebrew has seven meanings. The first letter is an ayin. An ayin in Hebrew means eye.
An eye, yes.
What do you do with your eye?
You see.
See is good. Perceive. Understand. Have insight. So everything you do with the eye is for seeing, right?
Yes.
The second letter, lamed. Perfect. Lamed is for teaching, rod, authority. So we're looking at a word picture, just two letters, ayin, lamed, ayin, lamed. So put those together. We're looking at the frames of a movie. You've entered into the editor's room, and you're looking at how they put this all together. So what does ayin mean? To see, lamed, teaching. So the yoke will help you see or understand the teaching of God. See or understand the teachings of God. That's important. When you perceive His authority, because you're going to come unto Him, He's the authority, you're going to take that yoke upon you, His yoke, which means what? As you understand the teaching, you coming under His authority, His yoke, you'll then see, right, the yoke, you'll see His teaching.
Mm-hmm.
His yoke is easy. The understanding of His word, the understanding of His teaching, insight into His teaching.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the yoke is.
So it's nothing hard at all.
No, it's not hard. He said so.
Yes, He did.
He said, if you are going to understand my teaching, said it's easy. Why? One reason. He said so.
Yes.
So why do we say it is hard? It is hard makes it a matter-of-fact statement. Is bike riding hard?
No.
No. It's just if a person doesn't know. When they know how to do it, it's...
easy.
Easy. Well, here God says, come unto me. I'm going to teach you. And you'll be able to see the teaching and the words of God himself. And it's easy. It's light. It's easy. My burden is light. The burden is that which we're given for Christian discipleship in order to walk out what he's worked out in our life. So take my yoke upon you. Take my teaching. See my teaching. Understand my teaching. Yoke, take my teaching, the kingdom of heaven. Take this Torah, my direction, instruction upon you. Of the Messiah, which is his yoke, his teaching. And then as you do recognize there's no other way, you become what? One of his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
What's the Hebrew word, Danny, for disciple?
Talmid.
Talmid, perfect. And Talmid, disciple, means?
Learner.
Okay. So in Matthew 28, 18 to closing to 20, the end of Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus says, go. He didn't just say, hang out. He didn't say hang out. He said, go out. So while the church may fellowship together in a building, we shouldn't be in bondage to buildings. We should go as believers and go out, not hang out. Strengthen up, then go out. That's the purpose. Strengthen and go. Go and make. You didn't say just you make them. You ever make something? Make them Talmidim, a plural form of Talmid. Make them what? Disciples or what?
Talmidim.
Which is translated as?
Learners.
Learners. But see, I want you to teach them to learn. Take my yoke, my teaching, my authority, so they can see the teaching, my teaching. I want you to see my teaching, my word. And it's easy. And once you do that, what happens to your life? To the degree that all life is his life, it'll change. And all life will then realize his life. All life lives as we experience his life. All life will express his life, and all life will shine his life. He is made known through us to the world in all our life.
He said he came to give us life and life more abundantly.
John 10:10b. Absolutely. The Satan, HaSatan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you see stealing, theft of time, money, energy.
Health.
Health, perfect. Killing or murder. Steal, kill, and destroy. God builds up. Satan's looking to destroy. What a big difference that is.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, I came to give you life. That's one of his teachings. You've just demonstrated an aspect of the yoke of Messiah, the teachings, amplified through the very fact, Danielle, that you're a disciple of his, and you just taught the world something that they can see he has come to bring life.
Yes.
He is the life giver, the source of life itself. And we all need life. We want to be living and free. And the only way to do that is in him who is life itself, and him who is absolute free and freedom, in whom we can have freedom and realize the life we're meant to live.
Yes.
We're not just meant like Walt Whitman. He said, there's more to a man than between his hat and his shoes. There's a lot more to life, people, and money and vacations and work and live and die and breathe and cry. What is that? Is that living? That's not living. That's existing.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, take his yoke. So drop the junk yoke you got from
men
and other things that you subjected yourself to in the world. Come to the yoke of Messiah. Put it on, which is your choice. You're going to wear somebody's yoke.
Yes.
Even your own. And there's an old saying that a person's own chains are the heaviest of all.
Yes.
Once you drop those off.
His is light
and wear
easy.
His.
Yes.
Which is his yoke. And we encourage you to do that. And if you need help, write to us. We'll help you and we'll talk to you again.